So what we'll glean from the Quran to a some extent that will be useful for the Jewish Bible scholar or anyone who's interested in Parshanut is more about the Yosef story. The Quran has more on Yosef than the patriarchs. And what's fascinating is that some of what appears in the Quran has legends, there's stories in the Quran, like Bereishis. That the material regarding Yosef is just amazingly similar to not what appears in the Torah, but what appears in Midrash. Okay. All right. So the Quran likes Yosef very much. Right? They don't like his brothers. Yosef is this might be consistent with what you find in Midrashim too, certainly in the Farsh, right? Can you tell me why it stops there? The Quran is very, very positive with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They like them very much, which is why the Muslims made those beautiful tombstone graves, they enhanced Marat and Machpelah very much. Yitzchak seems to be the biggest, but they like Yosef, his trials with Potiphar's wife, his magnanimity in accepting all that life has to give him. Of course, the Quran doesn't have as much as Bereishis, Perek Lamed Zayin, but what it has is very, very praiseworthy of Yosef and his trials. Okay, but the picture they make of the brothers in his sale and in the subsequent story is extremely negative. Now, the Midrashim, as much as you may want to paint Yosef in as good a light as possible, the Midrashim have to contend with the fact that his brothers make up the Shiftei Kohen, and their names are also on the stones of Aaron's Choshen. But clearly, Muslims have no such allegiance and no such concern. They don't have to worry about whether Zebulun is a good guy or not. Okay. You may know some of the Apocrypha. Are you familiar with the Apocrypha? Apocrypha is it's just that. Apocryphal books. You know what the word apocryphal means? It means it's stories, but are they real? Are they just legends? And so there's some scholars who say the Torah stories are apocryphal. But we have what we call the Masoretic text, and we have books of the Apocrypha, the capital A, books like Chanoch. Where did Chanoch go when that poor guy died at such a tender young age in his early 300s? Right. So that one of the books is called the Tzavos Hashpatim, which is the deathbed pronouncements of all of the sons of Yaakov to their sons and grandsons. Creator is probably Reuven, because Reuven is what they do with Bilhah. We know what happened with the sale of Yosef, what happened with his penance after that. And so Reuven is very, very creative on what his deathbed pronouncement is. But others like God and Asher, they all have something to say about the Mechira. They all have something to say about their children and their flight to Egypt and things like that. So these are apocryphal stories of the Shvatim, and are generally positive. The Quran is very negative about the brothers. After all, it's all Yosef. So just there's one element of the sale of Yosef, which is very interesting, is that his what the Quran considers most praiseworthy of Yosef is what they want to teach to their own Muslims, which is his forbearance in turning down Potiphar's wife. And what's interesting is that this might, for us in this class, since I don't have any particular allegiance to the Quran, but I'm not one to disparage another holy text, but the Medrash that says that Potiphar's wife spoke about Yosef to her neighbors and friends, and told them how I want you to lay eyes on this gorgeous kid that I have to look at every day. My husband pays no attention to me. I mean, Chazal say he was a eunuch. Okay, so she wasn't being fulfilled by her husband, and she just wanted so badly to, you know, to have be fulfilled, especially by someone so so gorgeous, if you will. So, you ever hear what test she made for her friends to see how tough it was for her? Because her friends were saying, "Come on, she's a little kid. He's 17. You're a grown woman. What's the matter with you?" Yeah, the Medrash that says she made a test for her friends. Now, how old is this Medrash? The Quran is from about the 7th century. Are Midrashim cropping up after that? I don't have original Midrashim. Okay? There's a Medrash that appears in the Tanchuma, it appears in a few other places, that she gathered a number of her neighbors, 20, 30 neighbors, and she gave each of them an esrog. Is that familiar? No? He fitted each of them an esrog and a knife. And she told each of them, "I want you to start peeling your esrog." All peeling and peeling and peeling. And she had Yosef walk in the room while she was peeling. While they were peeling. Right? And it says in the Midrash that every single woman cut her hand when he walked in the room. That exact story appears in the Quran. Isn't that funny? And so, for instance, the Tarim Yonah song to Yishmael's wives, when his mother takes wives for him, it names the wives, and they're Muhammad's wives. The names of Muhammad's wives in the Quran. So, does this? So they're going to say we took from that. Tarim Yonah is definitely older than the Quran. Even Tarim Yonah to the Torah is. But these midrashim, okay, I'm laying it out before you just to say that there's not much to talk about in the Quran. The main focus of a class like this will be, did we really fabricate our Torah narratives and veracious to fit our historical agenda? Or is the Quran more historically correct? I mean, look, as people of faith, we're doctrine, maybe you want to call us indoctrinated, but the proofs are much, much greater from the Septuagint, from the Dead Sea Scrolls, and, following that the original correct version is as we have. I will say that this debate made its mark, especially in the Rambam. I think I alluded to this last class, and that's really all I want to talk about this, is that the Rambam became such a stickler, and this stickler, since the Chassam Sofer maybe, has been with us. Chassam Sofer said, the Rambam's 13 principles of faith have been codified like the Shulchan Aruch. Amazing. Because not every one of his own colleagues agreed with all these principles. Right? I'm not from Ramban will agree with all those principles. Maybe not. I'm a good Jew, but I just think that Yeshayahu was a better Navi than Moshe. Right? Or I think that God does have a physical feature. Why does that make me a heretic? Why does that make me a goy? Right? I agree. There's some you know, Sefer Yikar or Yosef Albo said there are only three principles of faith. He sort of joined a few of the Rambam, like three or four into one, but why do I mean, should the principle of faith be polemical in nature? In other words, because Christians felt that a prophet came that was greater than Moses, and the Muslims said that the prophet came that was greater than Moses and superseded Moses, that I have to believe because of their Narishkeit that Moshe was the greatest prophet of all time, and if I don't believe that, I'm a heretic? Right? Make something a principle of faith. Right? Okay, but here's the rub. When you're accused by a much more powerful nation, the Muslims, you know, almost right away had their way with us, when you're accused by a much more powerful nation, that you have fabricated your Torah to fit your agenda historically against them, right? You will, in your own audiences, sort of become a zealot about, you know, fighting the other people. You have to be careful because, you know, you can't go on the offensive with them. Right? And Christianity teaches that God took on a physical form. So you're going to, you know, philosophically, you may feel that giving God a physical form is giving some limitations, and you know, that philosophically you have a problem with, but it might be polemical as well. That it should be a principle of faith that God doesn't have Ein lo shum masige haguf klaus. Okay. All right, so Jesus in the Talmud. Does the Talmud outright mention Jesus by name? Well, certainly not in our editions. Does that mean he was totally inconsequential as far as the Jews were concerned? Well, in the censored text, I think I showed this to you last class, right? In some of the censored texts, right, that they have him with his students and his disciples and his Gospels. The historical Jesus, as far as the Talmud is concerned, is 100 years before the Christian Jesus. Right? Who's at the time of Pontius Pilate. Look, this again, I'm not out to disparage another religion here with this either, but no Roman record has anything of it. That could be because they purposely expunged those such records. No record in the Egyptian history mentions Moshe either, or Yosef for that matter. But they tended to expunge those records. All right, but Moshe in Egypt is a long time before. We have good records from Josephus and Pontius, but why is there no reference to him? He was one of thousands, there were more, who were routinely crucified. Right? So the first thesis I'm making with you when we're looking at these sources will actually have us look at F. Look at F first. F is, you just have to keep going, A until you get to F. Okay. Gemara in Sanhedrin, right? And it's the F on your front cover. It says, Kol Yisrael Yishlem Chelek L'Olam Haba. Danny, you want to just read through the Mishnah?
Kol Yisrael Yishlem Chelek L'Olam Haba.
Shnemar.
Shnemar, Rami, Kulam Tzadikim, L'Olam Yerushu Aras.
Pasuk continues, Netzim Atay,
Maseh Da'at Ispaya. Ve'elu Shinan Chelek L'Olam Haba.
The Olam Yerushu Aras is that's the Raya. Right? Okay, and the Kulam Tzay, all of them are. But there are some things you can do to forfeit it, such as
Ha'omer in chias amesim min ha'Torah ve'in Torah min ha'shamayim ve'ha'bikoros ve'kiba omer af ha'kori b'sfarim ha'chitzonim ve'alot v'shal ma'aka ve'omer kol ha'machal asher sabdi mitzonim lo asim alecha ki ani ha'shem orfecha ha'bashal omer af ha'hobi as ha'shem bo'ti osa.
Okay, so three additional things you could do that don't involve like a whole life philosophy. But just three things. Now we're going to have to look through Gemaras and see what Sfarim Chitzoniyim. Did you take intro with me? Yeah. So Sfarim Chitzoniyim can be the Apocrypha, or it could be the New Testament. Right? Now, if it's the Apocrypha, what's the serious problem? The Gemara in Daf Tzadik test says. Gemara's quote the Apocrypha all over the place. There's a big place in Erev and Daf Samachei that quotes all the places in Shas. There's a Gemara Bava Kama that thinks that the Apocrypha is part of Telem. There's a pasuk in the Apocrypha that thinks that this is from Ksuvim. The Talmud is quoting Mishle Ben Sira, and especially Mishle Ben Sira, but there's some other books also that they quote. I mean, heck, the New Testament is quoted in the Talmud too. We saw that last class. So what do you mean if you read these books? So, all right, I have a quick answer for that. What does it mean? So for the New Testament, probably you're allowed to read it if dash masha toshiv lahem, in order to answer, which is what we're going to rely on in this class, when we have to look up some stuff. But the Sfarim Chitzoniyim, wait a second, that's not, you know, that's not Matash Tashir. The Gemara learns things from the Sfarim Chitzoniyim. So what's with that? So the Gemara's answer is, no. The difference is that if you read the Sfarim Chitzoniyim just as books of wisdom, don't read them as books of Tanakh. What's the difference between the book of Tanakh and the book of wisdom? The Gemara itself seems to indicate by saying that some things which seem foolish in Mishlei Vetzira, they say, this is nonsense. It doesn't make sense. Now, are there some parts of Mishlei Vetzira that don't make sense? Absolutely. Go to look at Shabbos Daf Lamed Aleph, and you see all kinds of contradictions, internal contradictions within Mishlei, and contradictions between Mishlei and other books. And it says, because of this, some said that Mishlei is not canonical. But what did they do? They sat down, and they responded to the contradiction, said, this is that. They cared enough to respond to the contradictions in order to keep it in Tanakh, because they felt that Shlomo's work deserves to be kept. But when Mishlei Vetzira, the Tzadik Tes, and Mesechta Sanhedrin, when they do this kind of stuff, no one stood up except one person. Remember? Abaye. Abaye says, my mother taught me that Mishlei Vetzira is an important work, and I'm going to resolve all the contradictions. Does that mean that Abaye thought that it was canonical? No. No hint to such a thing, and no proof of such a thing. But I just felt that it's a worthwhile book, and we should just quote from it. No different than possibly quoting from Ben Franklin's wisdom or Shakespeare's wisdom. But quoting Tanakh is different. Quoting Tanakh means that the Torah calls a ben sorer umore zolel v'sovei. So the Gemara in the 8th Perek says, what does it mean to be zolel v'sovei? I'll tell you. Go look at this pasuk in Mishlei, and that's what it means to be zolel v'sovei. What we're going to do to this kid, life and death, is determined by a pasuk in Mishlei. That means that's what it means to be canonical. If Mishlei tells you something to do that doesn't make sense in your day, so if it's canonical, I have to work with that. I have to do something. If it's in Mishlei Ben Sira, so I'll say, okay, Mishlei Ben Sira is a foolish book; it doesn't apply. But Mishlei Ben David has to apply, right? Okay, but in the context that I'm going to try to teach you now, the Sfarim Chitzoniyim of the New Testament. And what's Halochei Shalamaka? Jesus in these texts, especially Maseches Avodah Zarah, some of these central texts, what's his main activity that the rabbis didn't like? Halochei Shalamaka ve'omer. He sees a broken limb and he says, Kol HaMachal Asher, something maybe, sorry, he says some words backwards and he says some incantations and he spits and puts something into the spittle and it goes on it and it cures it. You don't have to know that from the New Testament, but you are aware that much of what Jesus was doing, and you find a lot of the evangelicals do. Right? You ever see these big gatherings, and all of a sudden, I can see, I can walk, I haven't walked in 20 years, and you just touched my head and said, take Jesus! So you ever see those? I mean, most of it is parody, like in movies or in, you know, shows or something. But it's going on all over the place. It's curing. You familiar with it, right? You agree? It's curing incurable diseases. That's what makes someone to be a saint. If the doctor said he's going to die, and this person gave him some water and said, you shall live, and he lives, they're up for sainthood. Mother Teresa is getting in that way. Okay, so that's called a machalok. You see what's going on in this Mishnah? Very few read the Mishnah this way, but I think it's Shayach. What about Ahoges Hashem Ba'usi Usa? What's that guy doing wrong? Ahoges Hashem Ba'usi Usa. What does it mean?
Pronouncing God's name as if it's spelled, not just.
Right. Now, we say it's spelled Yud Kei Vav Kei, we spell Aleph Tzitz Lev Tov Tzitz Aleph Tzitz Nun Yud. It's a true verb of Moshe that says, what happens if there's a Tishtush Kyo, there's a piece of. Some clay on top of the word Yud Kei Vav Kei. Or for that matter, there are other words like that in Parshas Kisavo. Like it says Batchorim, but we read a whole different word. Ba'afolim. Yishkolena, we read Yishkavena. Right? So how can you read it? You're not reading the word. It's like you're reading Baal Peh. So every time you read Hashem's name, it's like you're reading Baal Peh. Right? So Moshe has a discussion on this, not Indian, but how is Hashem Elohim Yosef also has to do with quantifying God with something that is literal, is as you see it. You're trying to see God, which is what Christianity did. It took a body to God, and the early Christians were calling God by their without the the witnesses. So there are some scholars who see in this list here, these three things that these three rabbis felt that the followers of Christianity were doing. Now, by the time these three rabbis lived, Jesus was long crucified. Certainly, according to the Gemara's Jesus. So I have the three things again are Koribis Farm Chitzonim, that's a gimme, that's the New Testament. Halochi Shalamaka, that's the curing. And always Hashem Be'os Yosav, the familiarity with what you with God because he's walking the earth. You see him. Right? Have any of you ever dreamed of God in your dream?
Yeah, that's a big milestone.
Okay. So what the Christians are claiming all the time that they're dreaming about they have Jesus in their dream because to them that God is a man with a beard. Right? Baby Jesus, that gets me. Sweet Jesus. Right? Okay, so you got those three. Then the Mishnah continues, Danny. Those are the worst of the worst, right? Who the Arba Hadyotas?
Bilam, Bidar, Achitofel, and Gichazi.
Now we see underlined Bilam and Gichazi. So Doeg and Achitofel are people who harmed David. Gichazi was the leper, was the attendant of Elisha. What did he do that was so wrong? Gemara discusses it, a number of things, but especially that he called back that Aramean general, Naaman. He called him back for gifts after Elisha cured him of his leprosy, remember? So Elisha made the leprosy go upon Gehazi. And we do hear from him again after that story, but so here's the thing. I'm going to try to show you that when the rabbis wanted to say something negative about Jesus, you couldn't just open up say Gemara Nebuchadnezzar, Zara, the followers of Jesus, da, 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 da. But you could say, may you never have a student like Gehazi. A student like Gehazi can destroy the whole nation. Christians don't know Gehazi's a bad guy to them too. You never have a student like Bilam. So here is the thing. I present to you, and I'm sorry that I have to leave shortly because of Vaya. That there's a lot of controversy about this. If you look under Bilam, even in something like Encyclopedia Judaica, they'll mention the opinion and roundly say that is not the case. But all I'm going to do is present the evidence before you. And you can think it over. All right? Because this guy, Peter Schaffer here, you see? Number three, Jesus and his home. He makes a pretty good argument for this. And I'm going to learn the sources, I'll start next time, and draw conclusions. But look, listen to this. This you can just get out of a sefer called Yishei HaTanach. Are you familiar with that sefer? Yishei HaTanach. It's written by Yishai Hasida. It's been translated. Now it's like a nice coffee table by Mitzvah. It's called
Encyclopedia
for biblical personalities. Yeah. So if you look under Bilam, and you look at all the different things that Chazal have to say, but there's quite a bit. So Christians like Bilam a lot. I think I told you at the very end of last class, because he speaks about Darach Kochav Miyakov, and he speaks about messianic predictions. So Christians claim that the very first person to predict the coming of Jesus is Bilam. How do you like that? Because he's before Yeshayahu, he's before Micha, he's before all these guys who predicted, before David. Right? So that's why Bilam is on the 16th chapter. But if you look in Chazal, hear this. He dies at the age of 33. He's a sorcerer. He cures people with his mouth. They get a little mean. They get a little low. They say he was homosexual. He was engaged in bestiality. Right? His wife was his donkey. He was a necromancer. I mean, some of the calls back the dead. There are all kinds of midrashim. I mean, look, he's called Bilam HaKosem in Tanakh, in Sefer Yehoshua. He's called Bilam HaKosem. Kosem, you know. Right? Kosem is a magician. So when the rabbis, the things that they say about Bilam, this guy claims, was their attempt to actually bring upon Jesus, and he says the same about Gehazi. All right. All right. So let's just start with the first Gemara here in Daf Mem Zayin in Maseches Sota. La'olam tei smol doche v'yamin mekareves. And this is in the context of Elisha and his student Gehazi. Right? Sota Mem Zayin. Sorry, the copy I have here is a little tough to read. I don't know, the copy machine just picked up everything from the back page. Lo ke Elisha shedachfo lo Gehazi. Don't be like Elisha, who so terribly pushed aside Gehazi, that he pushed him with both hands. What you should do is, if you have a bad student, push him away with your left hand and bring him close with your right hand. You're familiar with that terminology, right? Smol doche miyamin mekareves. Elisha mayi. What is the story there? Dechsiv. Vayemer Naaman. Hoel kach kichrim. Usiv vayemer elav. Lo libi alach kasher hafach ish me'al merkav tol likrascha. If you know the story, it's funny. I just hinted at to you a minute ago, is that when Elisha cured the Aramean general of his leprosy, he became so thankful, and he wanted to bring all kinds of gifts, and he wanted Elisha to take money for it, and Elisha refused. He goes, "My God did this for you, not me. I don't deserve any remuneration." So he went along his way, and he said, "Your God is the only true God. Your integrity is compromised, and when you have the truth, you don't need to bolster with any reward or money." So, and he converted. He said to tell him, "I'm just going to go with my God to his place of Avodah Zarah, but I'm going to stay true to your God." And then what happened? Gehazi saw an opportunity here. Gehazi caught up to him and said, "My master changed his mind. He would like some gifts." He gave him a few things, but certainly not all these things. So when he gets back home, he confronts him, and he says, "Gehazi, you made a terrible chil Hashem. You turned him into making me be like one of those regular, magicians who performs rituals for people or miracles for people for money. That's not what I am. You know that. May his leprosy come upon you, and it came upon him and his sons." So And what Gehazi was thinking, Elisha is, you can't, Elisha always will know what that is, right? Because in the story just before it, which is also Haftorah, this is Haftorah Parshas Tezri and Mitzorah, the Haftorah of Vayera, when that boy died, he was working in the field. Remember, Elisha made a bracha that his mother should have a baby, and the boy dies in the field. And the mother comes to Elisha to beg for his life, and she falls by his feet. And Gehazi says, wait, get up, don't touch the prophet of Israel. And Elisha says, please, Gehazi, don't you see her? She's very, very bitter about something. And God has hidden it from me. But I don't know why she's here. So Gehazi says, my Rebbe is slipping. That's what he must have felt. Because the other story is the next story. Right? The Torah is 6 months apart, but the story is right away. And he tells him, and he figures maybe he doesn't know that I asked for the money and the gold and the silver. Right? Okay, so it says that Elisha made a gross mistake by pushing Gehazi away too much. Now, you know, I'm sorry. You see what's written at the bottom? That's the it got printed backwards, but here's what happens in the Pnimim text. The Chisaros Chasron Shas has the full text of what appears here, which is that a critique on Yehoshua ben Prachya. His name sound familiar? One of the Zugos. A critique on Yehoshua ben Prachya for turning away Jesus. The way Jesus came out is the fault of Yehoshua ben Prachya. Have you heard this? He's not familiar with the sense of text. The Gemara says that here it is. Yehoshua ben Prachya was traveling with Jesus, and they came up to an inn. Tell me, please indicate if you're familiar with the story. And Yehoshua ben Prachya said, "That's a beautiful inn. Let's stay there for the night." And she was the innkeeper was standing in front, and Jesus said, "Rebbe, she's not beautiful at all. Why should we stay here?" He said, "What?" And the Gemara in parentheses says, you know, the word for innkeeper and inn is the same. Pundak or pundakita. Right? So the Rebbe is looking at Jesus, where Jesus thinks that he thought to stay at an innkeeper because he might have some comfort for the evening with a beautiful innkeeper. Right? And he says, how could you even think that that's why I would choose this place? And he refused to, he rejected him. He pushed him aside. His left hand is right hand. And Jesus kept on begging him for forgiveness. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to intimate this. I'm sorry. And he refused any entreaty from the Talmud. He kept pushing and pushing, like Elisha did to Gehazi. And finally, one last time, while Yehoshua Prachya was davening, he came to him and said, Rebbe, please forgive me. And he gave him like the fingers like this. And he said, and Jesus saw this, that's it, I've had it. Left him, he went on his own, and said, I'm starting my own system. So the Gemara ends there. You have to be careful not to push away your students with both hands. Right? So, the fact that Sota makes a juxtaposition in the center text between Jesus and Gehazi is something we will use next class. Okay?